Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Welcome back to another episode of the Cropod. We're doing the pre-AGM special. This is all the shit that, God, you know, it'd be better if it weren't for the last two matches. I think we might enjoy this just a slight tick more, but we got brought back to earth in the past week in a way that none of us really wanted. So, but joining me today, of course, Danny's back. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
And from Cropod of yore, not even Cropod, just original Crow website of yore, we dragged out Andy McKellar. Look at this.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. This is the first time you've actually done the show, right? This is it.
This is it, yes.
I mean, oh, my God.
Some people have got they say they've got a face for radio. I think I've got a voice for subtitles, so podcasting. So I'm going to rely on you guys to carry me through this, so I will be officially the Sam Lammers of this podcast.
Oh, fuck. All right, we're cutting Andy. That was good to have you, Andy. It was nice talking to you. Yeah, I don't, we have the biggest wage bill we've ever had. We have the largest wage bill in the country, and yet we're drawing to some Cypriot part-timers at home on a fucking Thursday. And the manager feels compelled to keep putting Sam Lammers on the park because we don't really have any other warm bodies that can fulfill that role. And it's critical with the AGM on Tuesday, right? It is Tuesday.
First thing in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Hold these fucking people to account. I can't, you know, Andy, I mean, you did the review of the books for Stevie Clifford there on the Four Lads site. And I mean, it's just, I haven't been this pissed off since like 2015. I mean, it's bad. And anybody hiding from it or trying to ignore it, you're fucking deluding yourself, right? I mean, it's terrible.
I think the thing with the figures is taken in context, you know, on their own, they're not disastrous, they're not terrible. But when you look at the value you're getting for, as you said, the wage bill, you look at the money we're spent on transfers, and that's where it becomes, you know, that's where it comes into focus, really, that actually we're spending all this money, raising a lot of money, which is good, you know, selling players for a lot of money, which is good. You know, there's good stuff going on in there. But then to spend all that money in wages, to spend it on the players that we spent it on that particular summer and since, and, you know, came out with no trophies last year, and, you know, that's where the context kicks in, that's where the problem happens, because the figures, you know, we've seen turnover improve, we've seen increased spending in wages and transfers, but during that time we are seeing a regression on the park, and that's the problem, and that should really be, you know, a huge focus of the AGM and the questioning that, you know, why, when we're spending all this money, why are we spending it so badly?
Well, to spend £21 million. Well, and again, you know, people want, if you want to blame Mike Beal, if you want to blame Gio, if you want to blame the individual players, go ahead. But they're a symptom of a much larger problem, and that is the fact that I hate it. I fucking hate it. And Danny, I think me and you said it. What were they going to do? They're going to appoint a director of football right on the eve of the AGM so they can say, oh, look, no, look, things have been going poorly, but we just hired him. right? We just brought him in, so now everything's fine. The same fucking people. I will go back to that John Bennett interview because it's the only fucking interview we have with the goddamn motherfucker. But he said, oh, we finally got a player trading model in January of 2022, right? I mean, yeah, how is any none of it is acceptable on any fucking level. You know, like you said, no, are the numbers horrible? No, if you want to be like fucking Burnley or something like that, then fine. If you want to be, if you don't want to win trophies, what we're doing right now is great. But I thought our expectation as fans was that we win everything that we compete for. And somehow, here we are, 10 years out, with one league title and one other, and this, how none of this is okay.
Yes, it's what Andy said. It's a serious regression. Because as long as things are going well off the park now, it's an acceptance that if things are not going well on the park, without them explicitly saying that, it's pretty much what it is. It's really worrying to have the biggest wage bill in the country. You know, we're ahead of our rivals in that respect, and you'd think that we'd probably be winning everything available to us as a consequence. And I don't think we could be further away from it. Because they're fucked as well. They're an absolute mess. They're a car crash. They have been for the minute that Rodgers walked in, pretty much. And I don't know how we take advantage of that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we are in this position where they are fucking ruined. They are just off the goddamn rails, and we can't do a thing about it. And this is a problem. You know, we bring in Phil. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna do the same thing with Clement that we did with Beal and Gio, and fucking it doesn't matter. You know, you want to hang everything on him. And if he succeeds, again, I'm so sick of saying this, but it's the fucking rainmaker thing, right? If he succeeds, they look like fucking geniuses. And when he doesn't, they can blame it on him. You know, and I don't get, I mean, I you know, the guy we just brought in from Eindhoven, it's great. But Andy, like, what does it matter if he has no fucking money to spend? Like, what are we going to do in January, right? We're hung with fucking 8 deadweight contracts that no one would ever take off of us. We are paying people that no one would ever fucking pay. So what the hell are we going to do when we need 6 players, truly, like 6 genuine strapped on first team fucking players? And here we are.
He's a director of football, but it seems like he's going to be more kind of fully focused on the recruitment rather than the
director of football recruitment. So we got a doffer is what we got.
But it depends. His experience is relative because I think he's only had like 7 months in his previous role at PSV. He was there for a couple of years beforehand in different roles, but I mean, at least he's coming from a club that's probably in a similar situation to us. I mean, a team that we've played twice in the last couple of years. And we've had a higher wage bill than them. And, you know, most recently had a bit of misfortune against them. But it's worrying alongside the fact that they dithered around for so long to actually appoint one. They didn't seem to want one at first. They were all in on Beal. And then they have to backtrack because the Beal experiment was a complete failure, which nobody's taken account for, you know. There was a question at last year's AGM about it was when Park was asked about his vision for the club, and he just went up there and sort of dithered about, we'll win more trophies, win more games, and reinvest in the club as much as possible. And it wasn't really a thorough strategy in the first place, but the second half of the question that he was asked was about, you know, greater transparency, greater competency, and a greater level of accountability at the club, and he just completely blanked that part of the question.
I've not been this pissed off at the people. This is 2015 level shit at this point, right? No, are they openly robbing the club? Are they doing the shit that me and Andy had to sit and write about every goddamn day all the fucking time? No, they're not. But that if our expectation as fans is, well, it's okay, like it's good enough, you know, that's not what this club is. That's not what we. That's not what we are. I don't understand the logic behind, you know, some of these fucking roasters that decided to respond the other fucking day. Like, oh, you have just a war set. What of these ideas are bad, right? I want to, and you know, to what you said right there, and Andy, I don't know, like, holding them to account, right? Doug Park got up there and said we should win everything and have the best players and have the best team. Even in that genuflecting fucking bullshit nonsense, right? That's what he said. And that's what they should be held to account for. We are fucking miserable to watch and we're not winning shit.
And I think the issue that happens is that AGMs typically haven't great forums for actually asking questions. No. You know, they'll do their presentations and speeches. You'll get a few questions from fans. Some of them are taken up by, you know, utter nonsense. And then it's like, thanks very much, see you next year, and away you go. So it's, you know, it's not the best forum to ask and to sit there and properly get into things. So Bisgrove, of course, came up with the CEO forum. And in theory, that's a welcome addition because there's a bit more time for fans to sit there and, you know, get a bit of face-to-face time with the chief exec and ask questions. But, you know, the AGM is difficult because you don't get a lot of time. There's a lot of deflection, short answers, and they move on to the next one. So, you know, it is difficult. But in theory, this is where you should be sitting down and saying, you know, what is the vision? How do we fund the summer? You know, how do we improve and move forward? Because, you know, we don't hear a lot from, you know, John Bennett. Bisgrove's wheeled out every so often, and he'll come up with, you know, we're going to expand the stadium and do these sort of things. But, you know, that's not the issue. We really need to know, how are we going to turn this team around? Because the summer was supposed to be the rebuild, wasn't it? That was the revamp. Michael Beale was talking about it. You know, we spent a huge amount of money in the summer, more than I could have imagined us spending, you know, certainly gross, you know, 21 million. And it's made us worse. You know, we've got rid of players like Cholak, for example. We've downgraded to Dessers. You know, you get rid of, you know, Hadji's been moved out on loan. You've got Sam Lammers in that position. You know, some of the decisions we've taken have really set us back, and the money we've spent in taking them, I don't know how you get out of that. You know, I don't know where the funds come from to start turning this around.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, my thing, like, with yesterday with Cantwell getting jerked off, you know, fucking, or Thursday. Goddamn, what day is it? I'm fucking hungover. No, but with him getting, you know, ripped off on 36 minutes because he can't follow fucking instructions from the manager, right? And it's like, I mean, again, I don't look at the outlay and the money that there isn't any fucking money to fix this problem. And all those contracts we're stuck with. Who the fuck is coming in and taking Cyril Dessers off of us? No one's paying him what we are. No one's going to pay Sam Lammers what we fucking are. Right. I mean, we're ridden with them, Davies, Tom Lawrence, all these shit fucking contracts. How we end up with a £43 million wage bill with this. This to show for it.
We were hamstrung with dead weight before this season already. Like, all the business done under Wilson and Gio previously. It was a pretty hefty wage bill as it was, but it was a massive downgrade in quality year on year. Whereas now it's actually taken us all the way. I honestly don't see much difference between this squad and Pedro's squad in 2017. And we're paying probably, I don't know, 15, 20 million pound a year more for it than we were back then.
The thing too, I mean, there were pieces of Pedro's squad that we could potentially make money off of.
Yeah.
What are we selling in this team besides Ross McCausland? Right? Yeah. The only thing we have is a 20-year-old from fucking Antrim who's outplaying every other fucking person in the team right now except for Jack Butland. So what do you do?
There's salvageable pieces, but there's nothing solid as a...
No.
The club clearly sort of put all their expectation on Raskan, and when he's not injured this season, he's not been at his best form either, so it's hard to see. Maybe things like that will turn around, but they were very much banking on whether it be him or Ridvan, and that's kind of it, isn't it?
Well, see, but Red Van's another one of the three. You know, like, are the red flags that you can get, right? Somebody looked at Mike Beal's fucking Europa League sheet that had one left back on it and still faxed it to fucking UEFA, right? As incompetent and derelict and awful at his job as he was, there's somebody accountable for his actions, and they signed off on that.
Yeah,
it's fucking ridiculous.
To go through the summer, really championing him and that experiment as the next greatest thing that could happen to the club. You know, all the club marketing around the Beal era was that it was a revolution. It was this great big rebuild, and they really went all in on him. But at the same time, they didn't. We did spend a lot of money, albeit, you know, through player sales, the net spend wasn't that high. And it's really more about, like, obviously the lack of value we're getting from those players.
Well, I guess, yeah,
spend 21 million and to struggle to improve the squad in any way, shape, or form is ridiculous.
I mean,
there's absolutely nobody taking account for the fact that they accepted that. They accepted that it was going to be Beal's thing. And to just not bother with the director of football. What is it, 230 odd days since Wilson left, and there was no clear succession plan until they had to be, I think Andy said it yesterday on Twitter, we're just reactive to everything. We just suddenly decide on a whim that we're going to do something completely different.
I think, you know, our Grant Snedden here, he's one of the listeners that actually reached out. And, you know, because again, the AGM, no, is it the best forum to do this stuff? No, but it's the only one we have because these people won't do any interviews outside of like their annual RTV sit down.
But it's better, you know, it's better than the fan forum, because all that really is an opportunity for BizCrow to go up and say how great everything is.
Yeah, it's pre-screen questions. Yeah. Nobody could actually cover it. Nobody could actually ask. You know, I mean, it was fucking nonsense. But Grant, you know, what was the working thought process that a director of football or sporting director was not needed to oversee our most important transfer window since 2018, mm-hmm. when the manager's only experience out of a window was free signings and loans? That's all he did at QPR. Yeah. That's the only thing he'd done. And yet, and these QPR assholes gave him a blank checkbook.
And no, nobody stood up since and said, hey, that was a bad idea. Maybe we should have done that. I don't think that's ever likely in football, that people kind of hold their hands up and take blame for everything, but it should have seen a massive turnaround in the way we do things. And I think as well, we were talking about it yesterday, Andy, with the change in the scouting setup and sacking a bunch of scouts and bringing in a director of football. It's and relying on this data-driven aspect of it. As far as I'm aware, most of the clubs in Europe that have relative success in the market tend to invest in every different function of recruitment that they can to get the most out of it. And we've just decided to strip it back instead of going wholesale change in the direction we should have went. Because if we have aspirations of being a big club, winning everything that we can and even competing in Europe, then we should probably be mimicking that in some kind of way. Looking at what other clubs have done well and trying to turn this around instead of just taking it as it goes and being reactive to everything, it doesn't make any sense. Because it's still, for the most part, you can correct me here, Andy, but for the most part, it's investors' money that's been wasted. So I don't understand why they don't want people to take account for that. I can't.
Well, I guess I can't
wrap my head around that part of it.
I can't, you know, like Andy. I mean, we've talked about the fact, well, one, they have isolated and removed the voice of 25% of the shareholders, right? And King, I don't know whatever. I mean, he obviously just doesn't give a fuck anymore, or at this point thinks it doesn't fucking matter. He can't do anything. But how do, like, Taylor and Gibson and all these people that can actually affect change sit there and watch these incompetent bumblefucks,
Alistair Johnston as well,
do this stuff, right? I don't get it.
There was an interview with Gibson, wasn't there? Was it This Is Ibrox, one of these outlets? And, you know, I mean, he spoke quite well and, you know, clearly a good Rangers man and putting money into the club, you know, all good. But then once he started talking about the performance of the club, that's when the alarm bell started ringing, because it was, you know, the guys are doing a good job, you know, I think we're on the right track and all that sort of stuff. and yet it sort of went against everything we could see on the park at the time.
It was only 8 months ago. I thought it was a lot longer, given the context of it.
That's just continued now. You know, we've seen that continue. So it's you know, it's good. Gibson, I think Gibson put some more money in again this year in those accounts, you know, it's just burning through their own money, and you know, still requiring loans. And I mean, I'm sure we sat a few years ago at the AGM, and it was Stuart Robertson talking about, you know, getting near being, you know, self-sustaining.
Yeah,
and that just seems further away now. You know, we've kicked that down the line with poor recruitment and bad decisions and burning through managers. And you know, at what point now in the board's sort of, you know, forecast, when does this club sustain itself? When do we stop having to go to investors to pump in 3 or 4 million a year? You know, renew the loans again. You know, I think the loans went up in the current year. You know, that was you know, £23 million worth of, you know, player sales and all that sort of stuff, Champions League income, and yet, you know, we're still keeping the loans ticking over. So at what point does the club manage to move towards sustainability? Because the only way we do it is with player trading. It's with, you know, getting much, much better at selling players at the right time, buying players at the right value, and just keeping that rolling. And that's what's absolutely killed us in the last, especially in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, though. Right there, right? The people that have been in charge of this shit are still there. If you, I don't understand how, if you're Gibson or Taylor, or one of these guys that keeps loaning money to these fuckwits and getting nothing back for it other than let me write another check next year, right?
Yeah.
Why is Bisgrove there? Why is Parks Kid involved in fucking anything to do with the football operation? What is his level of expertise in terms of selecting a manager or players or a director of football? Why is he involved in that discussion at all?
It might suggest what does he do? A problem with the self-sustainability model if there's people like that involved. Because to continuously talk about that and not achieve it and essentially leave the football operation side of the business, the main operation of the business, in complete disrepair, it doesn't. None of that adds up, and we've never had any kind of clear strategy or vision on how it's supposed to. It was Bisgrove came out in the summer in his first interview and spoke relatively well, but there wasn't an awful lot of substance behind what he said if you go back and listen to it.
Wow.
I just see, even just to go back and because I watched all whatever it is, an hour and a half of it, I rewatched the AGM of last year. And there was a point where Park interjected about something. It wasn't even sort of prompted. He just went on a bit of a rant about how he wasn't really happy with the fact that there was a divide with Club 1872 in the club. And this is absolutely not to make it about Club 1872. There's problems there, evidently. Whatever they may be for some people, I leave that to one side. It's the fact that he came out and said that it would all be resolved if they signed an NDA. If that's not an alarm bell for a group that wants to, you want a
supporter shareholding group to sign an NDA, right? Yeah. We've done this one. Like, this ain't the first fucking rodeo on this shit.
It wasn't good people doing it back then, and it's a really, really terrible thing to suggest now that one of the biggest shareholders in the organisation is being sort of marginalised to whatever extent. That's one thing, but to force them to not be able to talk about things if you're going to talk to them at all,
it screams
just a complete lack of want for any level of accountability whatsoever. They've marginalised the two, well, one group and one person in Club 1872 and Dave King, regardless of what you think about them. They have marginalised them, and I think they're probably the two groups that would be the most publicly critical of them. I don't think that's really a coincidence.
I mean, I can't, you know, just the shit that they've done. Well, yeah, I mean, with King around the McGregor testimonial and shit, whatever. I mean, it's this is not the expectations I think that we have. You know, I think this week too, like, they're trotting out David Holmes again, like a fucking show pony. Well, what lesson did we learn from anything from him, right? I mean, if we're just going to do, oh, it's nice to see him around again and not go, wait, why was he run out the door? Oh, yeah, for doing this, for asking questions, for doing the stuff, for fighting with fucking Murray, right? And here we are. Here we are. I mean, again, no, is it 2012? No. Is it bad? No. Yes.
It's not the previous years of 2012 either. It's not Murray era stuff, but it's very Murray like in a lot of ways. It without them explicitly saying anything, it really quite often feels.
Well,
like,
no, I know. But when they came out and said,
"Shut up and pay your money,"
hey, everything's going like shit. Let's make the stadium bigger. Here you go. Look at that casino hotel. Like,
it was just it's from the same playbook, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, Andy. What was it? Wasn't that last year? Didn't Dougie Park say something like wasn't it a 3 to 5 year plan to keep winning? Which also to say keep winning implies that we're currently winning things. We're not. But the fact that their whole 3 to 5 year plan was just keep winning, and that's it. So again, you know, I cannot stress this enough. These are their terms. They've made these terms. This is what they want us to hold them to account for. Mm. Andy, are we winning?
No, we are not. No.
Okay.
Nowhere near enough. I mean, to come back to the sort of sustainability thing, you know, under, and it all feeds into, are we winning? No. Because we won the league. We reached the European final. We qualified for the Champions League. And we had 2 record player sales. If we cannot win or move towards at least being, you know, sustainable at any half-decent successful level after that, then something is badly wrong. And I think, you know, I think it's fair to say that something's badly wrong. You know, we're talking about it just now, but I don't know what else they could have hoped for in terms of money at their disposal to do this, and yet, you know, we're not there. We're so far away from it at the moment that it's, you know, it's saddening really that we're such a poor side, despite having all that money to spend, all those sort of minor successes in their own right, and we're sitting with a team that is Danny said, is sort of, you know, maybe early Gerrard either or something like that. You know, that's where we're at.
Well, I don't get, you know, for them to come out and they keep touting, we finally have a player trading model. Is this what it looks like? Sign players that you can't possibly sell on because they're either too old or shit, right? We had good players that were saleable assets that we hung on to and let them run their fucking contracts down. Morelos could have been sold 15 times for £15 million. Kent could have been sold for double what we paid for him, which was too much in the first fucking place. Mm-hmm. Glenn Kamara could have been sold for £15 million, right? None of this happened. We let them all fucking walk out the door for nothing. So they are literally setting the terms that they want us to hold them accountable to. We should be winning more, whatever the fuck that means. We should have an effective player trading model, whatever the fuck that means. They are the ones that keep saying this shit.
Yeah.
Time that we can fucking hold them to it. Do not let them get off the stage asking about your fucking parking spot or your goddamn pie or whether or not you can have a fag in the bathroom, right? I mean, like, Jesus Christ. You are watching this club get ripped apart right now by fucking incompetent idiots. I mean, just brain dead fucking idiots.
The worry with that, Shane, though, is most of the executive team, apart from the CFO, are relatively inexperienced in their role. They've never held, or they haven't held, a role similar or at a similar level for very long in the past, if at all. So you kind of get what you pay for. We've skimped out on certain areas in the club. We've tried to cut corners. We've tried to save money in areas that it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense not to go and spend a significant amount of money on a good CEO or a good director of football or technical director, because the cost that you'll save yourself if the club is run far more efficiently than it currently is night and day. It's common sense. It doesn't take anybody with expert knowledge to understand that. But they keep running it in whatever direction this is supposed to be. We've backed ourselves into the corner with the squad, with the state of it. There's too many high earners. There's too many players that won't really be attractive in the January transfer window to shift on, to yet again move the deck chairs around. They are at the point now where they actually have to invest significantly to get us out of this.
But that's been the case since 2015, hasn't it? You know, we've had a sort of lightweight boardroom, a lightweight executive team. We haven't really brought in, I mean, I don't like to, you know, go back to quotes about best in class and all that stuff. But at what point have we brought in the best guys for the job in these sort of roles? You know, Stuart Robertson seemed a thoroughly decent guy, you know, at the time where we were, fine. But yeah, then exactly. At what point should we have upgraded him and, you know, went out and got somebody? I mean, won a league title, you know, European final, Champions League club, and you try to say we can't attract a decent level, whether it's a chief executive director of football. I mean, if we can't do that, then we're doing something wrong, aren't we?
Yeah. It's making hard decisions, though. That you've seen it in every situation in the past year or two where they've had to make one. Whether it be the director of football, that they just let that fizzle out instead of sacking him along with Gio after losing twice 4-0 last September. And they pretty much tried to do it with Beale. It was quite clear that they were going to go for Gerrard. They wanted to go for the easy and obvious option every single time of the last three managers. I don't know what happened that they ended up changing their mind and going for Clément. But it seems whether they're split on decisions amongst themselves or whether they just don't know what to do, constantly led by inaction, which then leads to a complete dearth of any kind of vision or strategy.
See, but that's it, right? Because, I mean, Lampard was it. We all fucking knew it was that.
Yeah.
And they flipped out because we all went, what the fuck are you guys doing? Why we need a manager that's actually competent and capable. Frank Lampard has proven he is a horrible fucking football manager with bad ideas. Why would you hire him? Why was he the target? Again, why was Doug Park's kid involved with any of the goddamn decision making around this? He's a fucking moron. Right? God. Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's been that way.
I knew I was gonna end up in a ball of rage here. You know, I tried the gnocchi before we started. I'm drinking vodka, but still, I fell down a hill yesterday, and Rangers are fucking Rangers. God damn it. Y'all, here, let's grab the break quick. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back. Both of you, one question for people. Well, Andy, are you going? Are you going Tuesday?
I'll be there, yes.
Okay. So your question that you want to ask, and one question from you, Danny, that someone needs to ask because you're stuck in Toronto and I'm over here and I got to proxy my shares like I do every fucking year. But come right back from the break. Let's do this shit because this is it, folks. This is, again, there's a very, very short road here that we're about to run into where they overtake the trophy haul and win 56 before we do. It's coming. If we don't fix this now... So, come right back. We're going to get them. All right, welcome back to part two here on the Crow Pod. Of course, brought to you by good friends, the famous headwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. Go get your Christmas presents. It's coming. You're going to run out of time. You're going to run out of time to buy stuff from them. And then you're going to be like, what the fuck? You're going to buy some shit off of Amazon or something like that. And then your whole family's going to sit there and judge you because you're a fucking loser. No, buy shit from our friends. Buy shit from our friends because they're nice, good people, and they have good stuff. And of course, we give away stuff from them every single month. Scroll down, hit that Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode right now. Support.thecopelandroad.org. Help us out. A couple new friends on this. Well, I think they were old school supporters of the show, but finally realized I am actually back doing this all the time. So like our buddy Dave Fleming was back on. My buddy Graham, he came back on as a supporter. So thank you all. Love you guys. Yes. AGM Tuesday. What, Danny? What do you want? Ruin my prompt. No, go ahead. Ruin my prompt.
I was just about to say, it's always a surprise to know that you're still alive, Shane.
It is. Honestly, dude. All right, so these guys know I fell down a hill. Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows I fell down a hill. I fell down a hill yesterday, but I did it in such a perfect manner that I knew I was going to fall. And so when it happened, I rolled and immediately one of my like hands with my feet behind me and just slid down the rest of the hill for about 100 feet. It was fucking perfect. I loved it. One of the great achievements of my goddamn life. And look, when you drink as much as I do, you got to take some solace and some gratitude and like self-respect from the smallest victories. And this was one of those.
you've built up that situational awareness, Bill, when you're dating. It's a skill. It's a talent.
Look, I've been hit by cars. I've had guns pulled on me. You know, like, whatever. I can get out of it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just a regular account.
Andy, you're going Tuesday. You got one question, right? Say I'm James Bisgrove or Dougie Park or John Bennett, who doesn't do anything anymore. Yeah. Say I'm one of them, and you got to ask me one fucking thing. What are you asking on Tuesday?
I'd revisit something I said a few moments ago, and it would be that we won the league, reached the European final, qualified for the Champions League, and yet we've gotten worse. So at what point does the club become successful and sustainable? And how do we move forward from that?
And when they give you a bullshit answer, what do you do?
You're meant to sit down and go let them talk about pies and stuff, aren't you?
Well, see, in fairness, the only positive for me anyway, there'll be others that have positives from it, but from the AGM last year, they did, for those that were asking the more complex questions about, you know, the function of the football operations or the overall performance of the business, they were actually given an opportunity to kind of follow up with it. Whether they took advantage of it or not, I'm not entirely sure. But there was some decent questions in there last year, and pretty much every single one was swerved. The ones that were directed towards Ross Wilson were, you know, all the usual stuff. Like, we, particularly after last summer, we had the vast majority of the new signings had barely played any games by that point of when the AGM came around, and just generally issues around squad management, so many first team players out of contract, and with or without a director of football, all these things have really persisted, haven't they? The new signings are playing more games this season. Don't get me wrong, that's fairly obvious, but that's because we got rid of absolutely everybody, and we got rid of so many of last summer's signings. So, you know, if I was to ask them a question, I'd probably be looking into the past a little bit and saying, you know, who takes accountability for that? First of all, who takes accountability for Ross Wilson staying there well past his welcome, and letting that fizzle out, and then adding another 230 plus days onto it before making a decision around any personnel that were supposed to lead the football operations. And then on top of that, why was the Beale experiment allowed to run throughout the summer completely unchallenged, completely rookie manager, no supporting infrastructure, stripping everything back, not giving them the tools that he needs to succeed? Whether you think he would have been a good manager or not, same with Gio, and we'll find out with Clément eventually, but regardless, I'm sure we'll find out in time with him too that he doesn't have the resources to succeed. So I'd really want them to be able to stand up in the AGM and tell us why those things happened and why it seems to be a continuous trend at the club. There's a complete lack of transparency and accountability. there's nobody there that will take ownership of their mistakes. So, and I think it's not a coincidence from people that say everything's best in class, but never back it up. The championing of everything that they do, the trumpeting that they do, is just nauseating to never see it come to fruition. It's yeah. I don't think we'll hear that from them, but yeah.
It's so fucking frustrating to me that the only thing that has worked well, and I'm not going to say perfect or great, and the people involved with it understand my concerns about certain aspects of it, but the only thing that has worked well consistently over the past 10 years is Rab's fucking media department. And the fact that he's had to do that shit on a goddamn shoestring budget and piece that thing together. I love the man. I don't know how the fuck he's tolerated all this bullshit. And again, it's, you know, people, look, we can focus on the pitch, right? And again, it's a football club. This is what we should just be able to sit and talk about the football, right? Our legal staff is fucking decimated. We gutted the scouting staff, replaced it with this guy who, as of right now, still lists himself as working for PSV, by the way. Best in class in terms of handling our fucking employees. Gutted the whole scouting staff. Gutted the medical team. Nothing left to it at all. It's obvious from the manager when he came in and he went, holy fuck. He has been shocked. And if you're not paying attention and reading for context and what Clement has been saying, he's fucking disgusted at the level that this club has been operating at. And this is a guy that we just hired to run the most important part of the fucking business.
He's not been here long, and he's already highlighted both the fitness and injury issues and how the medical team perform, how the facilities haven't been used often enough or well enough, and just the general state of disrepair with that aspect of the football operations. But also he's mentioned he wants to completely redo however we're approaching contracts. He highlighted the fact that we shouldn't be in the position where there's three senior players out of contract in the summer. And thank goodness he wasn't here the previous year, because we had about 14. So, you know, it's such a shambles to put somebody into. I wonder how much of it he was aware of before he took the job. But he has his hands tied until they decide to back him. And it will have to be a significant backing. It can't just be, we'll appoint a director of football and then we'll do nothing else. Because again, whether it's the manager or whether it's the director of football, just expecting them to work miracles won't get you results.
Well, they
need the support and infrastructure, but in this particular instance, given the scale of the rebuild needed, we need about six nailed on first team starters.
No, we need a left back, a center half, two midfielders, right wing, and a striker. Right,
I wouldn't be surprised if you're talking. That's like, I feel like Ali McCoy's coming out in the papers every 2 weeks in the past few years and saying that Rangers need 40 million to compete. We're pretty much at that stage now.
Sadly, that is it.
And for what? Why?
This, you know, Andy, your question was perfect, but it's holding them to it, right? Why are the same people that are going to be sitting on that stage on Tuesday, the same ones that were fucking there last year, they're the same ones that hired Bisgrove internally to be a CEO when he'd never been the fucking CEO of an organization. It's £100 million company, and you hired a first-time CEO to run it. How is that the expectation for what we are as a club, right? How is that okay? How is any of this okay?
Yeah.
To let us get to this point where, there are fucking shambles. We should be winning this league the same way we did fucking back in 2020, right? We should be running away with this shit. And then instead, here we are, what, eight points off, right? And I don't think, I mean, Do either of you feel good about the cup final right now?
No.
Does it not feel like a goddamn bomb scare that we could fucking just...
With Betis close by as well.
Yeah.
Which is a game we need a result in.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, because we couldn't deal with some fucking baristas, the part-timer fucking, yes. We got a point off of that.
Now, stop, stop, stop. We've gone too far. We've all made a mistake with our AGM questions. We haven't asked about Celtic.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we haven't asked about Palestine, so we need to get the big issues out there first before we come back to sustainability, success, and titles.
Do you remember the guy last year that stood up and ranted about COVID? Oh, my God.
The anti-vaxxer fuck.
Yeah, it's like, all sorts of madness. I encourage people to go back and watch the AGM just for that part.
Honestly, I want, again, you, if you're going on Tuesday, please say you were going to Edmondson House, which took 2.5 years longer than they planned on and cost 2.5 times what they budgeted for. For
and
what?
It was scaled back.
What was it?
It wasn't even the full scope of
the plan. And it was supposed to be the whole focal point of the 150th. What did we actually do for the 150th besides put a fucking flag up and open the doors at Edmondson House?
That's right. Why they rushed it through,
these though. Are the same people. These are those people who fucking did that and are doing it now. Oh, God. Sorry, Danny. This is just me acting the hard man over here. I know.
You know. Yeah, apparently. But it's worrying that it ended up being overdue, over budget and everything else at a time where
it was supposed to cost £6.5 million. It costs over. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and in a time where
crazy
companies building, you know, developments or whatever else up and down the country at that time were paying through the nose for labor and supplies. It was not economically viable to do that. It should have been shelved. But it's quite obvious to come to the conclusion that they rushed it through because they made it such a centerpiece to the 150th celebrations. I can't come to any other logical conclusion.
No, I can't. It's one of the things like with Bisgrove, you know, like do we want to look at his actual record? He's the one that came up with the goddamn Postecoglou homecoming friendly, right? Mm-hmm. He's the one that came up with the Turkish money laundering fucking scheme. Okay, he's the one that fucking made Edmondson House the focal point of all this, which we fucked the sesquicentennial, right? I mean, for 150 years, and to do what we did, like Coventry did better with their 150th anniversary than we fucking did, right? Mm-hmm. Is that our expectation as a club? No. So why do we tolerate it, and why do we keep applauding these fucking people and let them stand up there and feed you fucking bullshit? They are fucking useless chancers. Get them out. That's it. I can't. And you know, I hate saying this because, like, you know, we're talking to people like us, right? We're talking to me, you, Andy, whatever. You know, even somebody like Edgar, right? Somebody who's even got maybe a little bit more pull than the rest of us. Where's Taylor? Where's Gibson? Where are these guys that have a goddamn stake, right? A real stake. We all have fucking money in there too, okay? We all do. But where are the fuckers that actually have a percentage and have a voice? Why are they tolerating this fucking bullshit?
The degenerate, backwards level fucking bullshit. They all kind of want to be in the background, not necessarily even pulling strings. Gibson made that clear in his interview earlier in the year as well. He kind of wanted to be a silent partner while still having some level of influence over it. Paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he was saying. I don't think any of them really want to be involved on a day-to-day basis. And given that passive interest,
they shouldn't be. But then your point as an investor, as a fucking shareholder, is to put people in place that actually do a good goddamn job.
But to be
and passive, you are the people that can actually. Well, and again, they have marginalized and basically vacated the one person that they knew would hold them to fucking fire, would hold them to account. King's gone. Whatever. And again, I'm not here to fucking extol the virtues of fucking Dave King. But right now, with this bullshit, this level of jackassery we have going on within the club, would he tolerate this shit? Hell no. That's why they marginalized him. That's why they got rid of Club 1872. They have gotten rid of 25% of the shareholding that they just... It's not that they think they have bad ideas. It's that they don't want to fucking hear from them. Right? They don't want to be held to account from those fucking people. Like, you know, right there, they want Club 1872 to sign an NDA. A fan supporter group, you want to fucking sign a non-disclosure agreement in terms of your conversations with them. What in the fuck is running through your mind that you think that is the right step? Right? The whole reason Club 1872 exists is because of the bullshit that we fucking went through in 2012. And your response to them is sign the NDA. Don't talk about what we talk about behind closed doors. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, I would end up in a ball of rage. I said I would end up in a ball of rage on this show. Sorry. Andy, thank you for your first appearance. It's wonderful.
I mean, I wonder if the issue there is that they all know each other and they feel as if it's part of a team. You know, they're all together, they're all making decisions, and they're all kind of working towards the same thing. So I think if it was a normal business and they were just shareholders, you'd see a much different approach. You know, they wouldn't be happy with the way things have been run. I think the fact that they have been together, they know the guys making the decisions. There's just maybe this, you know, almost like a clique, you know, they're together in it. And
it's the bowling club.
It makes it very difficult to go and sack somebody who you've been having nice friendly chats with, or, you know, you've been talking to, or you appointed yourself, perhaps. You know, I just wonder if there is that little clique team mentality, and that's why you get maybe the likes of Stuart Gibson coming out and saying, no, the guys are doing really well. I'm quite happy with how they're spending my money.
Right to that point, right now, as we're doing the show, here's your headline from the club, because I just got my email. Rangers announce enhanced partnership with AIM Building and Maintenance. AIM Building and Maintenance. Now, again, you seem like wonderful, fine business people. This is not an affront to you. Is this the level of expectation from the club? This is what we're okay with. This is what we should be having touted to us as fans. That this is the level of sponsorship. This is what we've got. I mean, I'm sorry, like Andy, Danny, you're in Toronto. I'm over here. What the fuck is AIM Building and Maintenance?
Believe it or not, I actually went to school with the guy that owns it.
There we go.
Don't know him that well, but I saw it pop up today, so I had a little chuckle as I saw that.
It's God. Again, I'm not really. I'm sorry to Andy's mate that he went to school with. Like I'm not. This is not targeted at you for a goddamn second. But this is it, right? They're going down the shorts of the first team. A West of Scotland building and maintenance facilitator is our short sponsor now. Not shirt sponsor, short sponsor, small pants sponsor. How? Oh my God!
At least it's not a Turkish cryptocurrency.
Jesus, that we're gonna send you an iron on for to make your shirt look complete.
To get rid of when they inevitably go bust, as I think two of them have.
You know, and Danny, I think me and you talked about this, right? You know, like Andy. Me and you were here back in 2012, right? We were the people sitting there like, Mike Ashley's a fucking crook. Brian Stockbridge is a rapey-ass little bastard who's in Belize or wherever the fuck he... You know, like, we were the ones here telling people this shit back then, you know?
I'll just clarify, that was your words, not mine.
I don't get how some of our friends, fan media, right? I'm not, I don't want to fucking target people. How the fuck do you keep carrying water for these jackasses? Right? You all were here. You all were here for Jack Irvin trying to sue all of us. Yeah. And I took that bullet for you, Andy, because he wanted your ass too, but he only got me. But You all were here for all that shit, and now you're going to carry water for these fucks for what? What have they done? How are we? It would be different if we'd won the league the past 4 years, right? Winning solves all. We're Rangers supporters. I don't give a fuck. You could give me the worst Saudi fucking war criminal in the goddamn world, put him in the front door of Ibrox tomorrow with a box full of cash. Don't give a shit. As long as we're winning, doesn't matter. These guys aren't winning, and they are spending more money than we ever have. They have made more money than we ever have, and they're spending more money than we ever have, and we're not winning a fucking thing.
But that's the point, right, isn't it? It's one or two good or bad results that could swing things over the course of a season very easily. But we're too reactive to that as well at the same time. It's like everything depends on the results, but still, at the same time, if you're winning stuff, if you're winning trophies and titles and qualifying for the Champions League, then it's going to naturally boost our revenue through competition, prize money, TV money in the Champions League.
Well, but don't forget, making the Champions League actually costs you money. Stuart told us that. It's actually a loss leader.
Yeah, having players to sell as well, if you're performing that well, you're more likely to sell them too. So all of it really depends on the success of the club, and it's just left to a complete disrepair.
I think to mount a small defense for fan media and the guys that...
And at this point right here, we lost about 20 minutes or so of the episode, sadly. So yeah, that's just gone forever. But thanks again to Andy. You can find Andy on Twitter, by the way, at amckeller89. Of course, don't follow Danny at DJ_1872. If you are, I mean, the last thing that we got to, if you're going on Tuesday, hold these fucking people accountable to their own words, to their own expectations. Dougie Park said, we should expect to win everything, sign the best players, do whatever it is, genuflecting fucking bullshit was. Okay? His words, not ours. We didn't come up with this. Him. James Bisgrove created the role of CEO in the organization for himself. Hold him to account for that. We didn't have a CEO. We had a shit managing director. We didn't have a CEO. And somehow he failed himself from being a bad fucking marketing director to the position of being the CEO of the goddamn company. What? They are the people accountable for this, right? The players are a symptom. Managers are a symptom. Okay? They are the people actually in charge. And Tuesday is our fucking chance to hold them to account for that. So if you're going, please, by all means, again, I'm sorry, 20 minutes is gone from this show. Here's me trying to sum it up in two. Fucking hold them to account for it, please. It is not acceptable. No part of this is acceptable. If this is the version of Rangers that you're okay with, us winning a league every decade, nah, that this is not our fucking club, right? This is not what we expect as fans. So get in there Tuesday and fucking make them accountable for this stuff. We'll be back. Regular Crow Pod, everything else next week. For the love of God, if you're going Tuesday, fucking kill it. And if you're going to the match tomorrow, please be safe, as always. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
You can't be fucking serious at that.